Last week, we looked at verses 17, 18, and 19. And we saw how the world lives and walks. They walk in the futility of their mind. They walk being darkened in their understanding. They are excluded from the life of God. There's a hardness of heart, it says. They've given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greed. And then, in verse 20, it says, but you. It starts off with those two words. But you. It speaks of a great contrast between how the world lives and walks and how we are to live and walk. It says, but you. Two beautiful words. Yes, it's true. The world is described very accurately in verses 17 through 19. Yes, it's true. The world is darkened in their understanding. It's growing in corruption. People are excluded from the life of God. They're walking in the futility of their minds. They've given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity and greed. But you, brothers and sisters, are different. And this is supposed to be the world's largest contrast. Now, we hear people all the time talk about contrasts socially. You know, there's the different races of people. There's sometimes different cultures. Oh, this culture is really different from this culture. This race is different from this race. You know, the Asians are different from the Africans. The Africans are different from the Europeans. And we hear things. Old people are different from young people. Older generations from younger generations. We hear a contrast, but the greatest contrast socially in this world is supposed to be, according to Ephesians, between those who know the Lord, how they walk, and those who don't know the Lord and how they walk. Now, I'm not so sure it's that great of a contrast always. I think a lot of times it sort of overlaps a lot, doesn't it? But it's not supposed to be that way. And that's why Paul says here, he says, but you, you're supposed to be different. You know, actually the contrast is as different as night and day, darkness and light. And actually, in chapter 4, the rest of chapter 4 and chapter 5, he talks a lot about that, walking in darkness versus walking in light. There's a big contrast. It's totally different. It's like day and night. We have that expression, don't we? Well, day and night should be the way, the difference between how we live and how they live. Now, not that we're wishing that they live worse, but it's that we've got to live so much more different. And why is there this great contrast? Is it because of who we are or what we've done? No. It's because of the gospel. The gospel makes things that are dark, it brings light to them and fills it with light. And that's what that's what's happened to our lives. Romans 1:16. We know this. First it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel. I'm not going to be ashamed of it. Why? Because it is the power of God for salvation. There's power in the gospel. So much power that it can take darkness and it can bring light to it. So much power that it can take us who are walking in that domain of darkness, like we read last week in Colossians, and take us and transfer us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. But you, I like the way that starts. But you, it's a contrast there. And basically, for the next chapter and a half, we're going to see, this is the way they live, this is the way you're to live. This is the way you live, this is the way they live. Back and forth, this contrast. But you did not learn Christ in this way. That's kind of interesting. You did not learn Christ in this way. That's sort of an odd expression, isn't it? Learn Christ? What's up with that? Well, first of all, note that it does not say learn religion. It does not say learn Christianity, does it? It doesn't say learn doctrine or learn the Bible or learn about the church or even learn about Christ. It says learn Christ. Now, these other things may be good, like learning the Bible, learning about the church, but our goal should be to learn Christ. He alone can take us out of darkness and make us 100% different. Let me correct that. Not 100% different, 100% new. Only He can do it. That's why we learn Christ. You know, it's He alone can bring about that inner transformation inside of us. See, it's so easy to lose sight of what we're learning. We learn, you know, our educational system, we learn about things. When we follow Jesus, we learn Him. We learn Jesus. We learn Christ. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Actually, we kind of looked at this verse a few weeks ago, I think. But it says, "For I'm afraid that as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness," see, it's easy to get deceived in this, "your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." See, religion is learning a set of rules. It's learning a doctrine. Yeah, there's doctrine associated with Christianity. But we're different because we learn Christ. We learn Christ. Disciples are what? Followers of Christ. Disciples are learners of Christ. And as a result, we become like Him because we are learning Christ. So you might say, well, how do you learn Christ? That's kind of an odd expression. I kind of get it. It's not the superficial things. It's Him, His person. We've got to learn Him. Well, verse 21, it says, "If indeed," we're going to learn Christ in this way, "if indeed we have heard Him and you have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus." So how do we learn Christ? Verse 21 tells us, first of all, we learn Christ as we hear from Him. See, Christianity is a foremost, it's a relationship in which there's communication going back and forth. I talk to Him. And you know what? He talks and speaks to me. This is so important. Have we begun to hear from Him regularly? I'm not talking about, yeah, I'm pretty sure I heard God speak to me about 3 years ago. No, that's not the question. You know, the question, are you consistently hearing Him speak? You know, the problem is not that He's not speaking. The problem could be that we're not listening. We must cultivate. The word that Bobby gave this morning about cultivating. We must cultivate the practice of listening every day, all day, to His voice. Now, that doesn't mean that He's talking nonstop. But if I'm listening every day, I hear Him speaking some things to me every day. It may be little things, you know, but I know He's speaking to me. I hear His voice. Now, sometimes it involves me seeking Him. You know, Lord, I just last couple of days, I just don't feel like I'm hearing You. I may just need to take some time away from my busy schedule and just get with Him and maybe begin to start reading His Word. Lord, I need You. I need Your words to speak to me. Now, we should probably also mention that if there is sin in our lives, that sort of fogs up the air And we need to clear the air, so to speak, to make sure we have a good, clean conscience. I think another thing is that he will speak to us consistently, but if he's speaking to something about what we need to do, we have to respond in obedience. If not, he's not going to push himself on us. You know, it's like me, and I say this, I don't have anyone in mind here, but in the past, maybe like in other churches, we'll say it that way, someone's come to me for counsel, and they'll talk to me, and they'll say, "Mike, I've got a problem." "Okay, what is it?" I need some counsel. And they'll talk, and they'll talk, and they'll talk, and they'll talk, and I think, wait a minute, let me kind of mention a couple things that I think could be part of the problem right now. And I'll start to kind of mention something, and then they'll just kind of keep talking. And I start getting the feeling they don't really want to listen. Or even if I know the person really well and I kind of say it really plain, "Well, I'm not so sure I can do that." Well, you know what? God's not going to be speaking. You know, and you know what? What's going to be my response? "I don't want to get together and counsel this person because they're not interested in what I have to say anyway." Sometimes I think that's the way God is with us. He might say, "Mike, you know, I'd like to talk to you, but, you know, are you sure you're interested in what I have to say? Are you willing to obey?" "Okay, Lord, I'm willing to obey." Then I can guarantee there's going to be a flow of his speaking to me. And as he speaks to me, and as I hear his voice, I learn Christ. And I become different from what we talked about last week, verses 17, 18, and 19. I learn Christ that way. I also learn Christ, it says, verse 21, "if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him." We learn Christ as we are taught in him. Because truth is in him. He is truth. And truth changes us. Jesus is the truth. And we find him as we read the truth, as we absorb the truth. Actually, John 1:1. It starts off and it says, I think it's up here. John chapter 1, verse 1. If not, okay, there it is. It says, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W. It says, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And if you keep reading, it's clear that Jesus is the Word of God. John 17:17. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he says, "Sanctify them," talking to his disciples. Actually, he's talking to the Father about the disciples. He says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Another time in John 8. He says, "if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Why? Because if you continue in my word, you're getting into the truth. And he says, that's why you need to be in my word. So how do we learn Christ? We can put it this way. It's a result of spending time with him, of listening to him, of absorbing his word, letting his word get inside of me, of knowing him. Remember at the retreat in October, we had a whole retreat talking about knowing him, abiding in him. You know, that was Jesus' final message to his disciples before he was crucified, was "abide in me. And if you do that, you're going to bear fruit." So the question, are we doing these things? Are we spending time with him, listening to him, being absorbed in his word, knowing him, abiding in him? That's the Christian walk. And as a result of doing these things, we begin to learn Christ. We are like him. We have his burdens. We have his heart. We have his priorities. We have his values. We become His hands and His feet to this world. If we have not learned Christ, or maybe we say we are not learning Christ, then our life would be like everyone else. There'll be little or no contrast. We'll be like the ones described in verses 17 through 19. But if we have learned Christ, or we are in the process of learning Christ, then we will have a life that has been transformed, or is being transformed. There will be a contrast between us and the rest of this world. But remember, it's the power of the gospel that allows you to walk in another way. God, in His great love, rescued us. He redeemed us. He saved us. He transferred us to His kingdom. But you, I like those two words, but you did not learn Christ in that way. You're learning Christ, and therefore there's going to be a contrast. The contrast is like day and night, darkness and light. In fact, that sort of becomes the theme for the rest of chapter 4 and much of chapter 5. He goes back and forth between describing the life of walking in the darkness and the life of walking in the light. We're no longer that way. We're now this way. Ephesians 5. Just to kind of give you a little preview. Ephesians 5, verse 7. It says, verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness. You were. But now, you know, I like that. Today we talked about but you, but it says, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. You know, I like that. It says, we used to be part of darkness, but now we're going to walk differently. And then in verse 11, it goes on, do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. They're not going to bear fruit. But instead, even expose them, because light exposes darkness. For it's disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. All things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. Do you see this going back and forth? Darkness, light. And then I think verse 15 probably says it really well. It says, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. In other words, we want to walk according to what? The light and not the darkness. Let's pray. Lord, we're getting to this part of Ephesians. And Lord, I know this has just been really the introduction, where we are being instructed on how we now are to walk. Lord, we know how we used to walk. But Lord, you've called us to walk in a totally different way, because you've created us new. Lord, give us the faith, give us the desire, give us the diligence to submit to your purposes and your work inside of us, that we truly would be living in a different way. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.